earth, and sky.
We know that right now we cannot balance the carbon budget of the earth.
That's John Ranson at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. He uses NASA's Terra satellite to study changes in vegetation. Dr. Ranson spoke with us about Earth's carbon cycle, which describes the way that carbon, a building block for life, moves from our planet's atmosphere, land, and oceans into living beings and back again. Disruptions to the carbon cycle are what's causing global warming in this century. Here's John Ranson of NASA speaking with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson.
What is the carbon cycle and why is it important to humans?
Okay, Lindsay, the easiest answer to that, or the quickest answer to a complicated question, is the carbon cycle is the movement of carbon in its various forms through our environment. It's important for people, first of all, because we're made up of carbon. About 20% of us is carbon. And another very important part of carbon in the carbon cycle is the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which actually helps make our planet suitable for life.
How might the carbon cycle be changing with the influence of climate change?
Well, that's an interesting way to put the question, because normally we hear it the other way around. How is climate changing because of the carbon cycle? But it's true. In the face of a changing climate, like the warming temperatures that have been observed over the last few decades, the carbon cycle is altered. And the part that I am studying is the terrestrial vegetation.
So you're studying this kind of vegetation, and how can you see that using NASA satellites?
We have been putting satellites in orbit around the Earth that give us the ability to look at vegetation patterns over the entire Earth, understanding what's going on across the Earth over a long period of time helps us understand this vital element of the carbon cycle.
You've made many trips to Siberia to study the carbon cycle actually on Earth's surface. And how does this kind of hands-on research supplement what you're learning from these satellites?
It's very important for us to have this satellite record. What's also important is for us to be able to know what's on the ground and be able to connect that ground information to what we're seeing in the satellite.
So why is it important to study a remote place like Siberia? Why is that on the top of the list for places to see with your own eyes?
So here we have an area, a vital part of the carbon cycle that is growing under these extreme weather conditions that are now changing. So by going there, first of all, we understand what's there now, what type of trees. We're able to look at the types of trees, the amount of carbon that they hold, and connect that with our satellite observations.
And can you explain a little bit more how these northern forests, the boreal forests in extreme latitudes like Siberia, particularly affected by climate change?
So we have a couple things going here. We have trees adapted to cold temperatures growing on permafrost soils. The plants will improve their growth. In other words, they'll grow larger and faster with a longer growing season, which you get if you have warming temperatures. They will also grow better if their roots can access water and nutrients better, which you get when the permafrost melts down in the summer to a greater depth. And both of those things are a consequence of climate change, and in this case, warming. So what we might see in that situation are trees that are growing faster, and also trees growing where trees did not used to grow, and also trees that normally grow farther south, appearing in the northern forests. And based on our field measurements and verified in certain areas by our satellite measurements, we're seeing all of these happening.
So what does this tell us about the carbon cycle?
Well, it tells us that the carbon cycle is very dynamic. We have a cause and effect relationship here, okay, and that's what we're trying to understand. We know that right now we cannot balance the carbon budget of the Earth. We believe that it's the plants that are taking up more carbon than we can give them credit for at this point. So we're trying to understand where that's happening. And I believe that Siberia has a big contribution to that.
So as the trees and plants are growing faster and there's more of them, does that contribute to absorbing the carbon? Is that positive for us or negative?
The ability of plants to take up carbon then, of course, reduces the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, which then would have what we call a negative feedback to warming. There would be less CO2, and it would have a cooling effect. There's more to the story, which we have to understand, in that if new species move in to replace the existing ones, we could have a change in how the Earth reflects sunlight. So if the forests that come in later are darker, they're going to absorb more energy and be warmer, and that will have a positive feedback to climate warming. So it's a very complicated situation. We don't have the definitive answers right now. The satellites like Terra are providing the information that will allow us to do that. And this is all part of our goal of understanding the Earth as a system. You know, how does the atmosphere, how does the land, how does the ocean work together to produce the environment that we live in?
That was John Ranson, who calls himself a biospheric scientist. Scientists use the word biosphere to describe the parts of Earth where life exists or that are capable of supporting life. Dr. Ranson is at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. Our thanks today to NASA's Terra mission, helping us better understand and protect our home planet. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.